We're talking and going through the series Surprise the World, and today we're talking about eating. Last week we talked about blessing, and just to encourage you to share with one another any times that you've been able to bless others, and just to come alongside and help others to see and be surprised and be intrigued by what God has and is doing in your life. As I pray this morning, from Psalm 37, taste and see that the Lord is good. And talk a little bit about that through Jesus' life. God is so good. Isn't he our Father? We just sang about him. He's given us every good and perfect gift. And if you tasted of his goodness, deep down your spirit, not just with the tongue, but just a deep sense of provision in our lives. And we need to live that out. So I want to pray for us, and we'll get looking into eating and table transformation. Lord Jesus, we come to you and ask for your guidance and direction as we look into your word and look at this concept of the table and how we can open our tables to others and be surprising and intriguing with the way we use our tables. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your example to us, and help us to use that and to think on that today and to walk out of here differently and looking and being reminded of how you used the tables that you came across to transform lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, talked and looked a little bit last week at being questionable, living questionable lives and having lives that are intriguing for unbelievers, what that looks like. And we explored briefly what the questionable life looks like, and that was evoking questions of unbelievers and curiosity about our faith in the form of blessing, what that looks like. And I had a chance to do something like that this week, and it was very interesting. I won't get into details about that, but it was neat to see what God did at a particular business in town. So I'll leave it at that. You can ask me afterwards. But I want to ask you a question. It's out of the scriptures. Complete this sentence. The Son of Man came, blank, blank, blank. The Son of Man came. There are three ways the Son of Man came. Think about that for a second. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Second one, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19, verse 10. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Luke 7, 34. Yes, eating and drinking. That was kind of more of a derogatory way of the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees looked at him and accused him. Right? He came eating and drinking. Well, the first two passages tell us what Jesus came to achieve, but the third tells us the manner in which he came to achieve it, and what he did, how he did it around tables oftentimes. One of the ways we can surprise the world ourselves is through the table and what that looks like. So we're going to look at how the table can shape our mission in our neighborhood or in our areas of influence. But let's look at one instance before we get into the body of the sermon. One instance of Jesus. So we're going to look at that in Luke 14, verse 1, and then go down to verse 7. Luke 14, verse 1, and then down to verse 7 through 14. So it says, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Being carefully watched, and he talked about healing on the Sabbath. And then we go down to verse 7, and he said, he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table. He told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So the table can be a surprising place. We're going to get back to Luke 14 in just a few minutes. But the table can be a surprising place. One of the most surprising things about Jesus was who he ate with. It was interesting this week in my readings for my devotions. I've read through the book of Genesis and then got into the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 2, the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, just as he calls Levi, where is he? At Levi's table. Mark chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Very interesting, right from the very beginning. And we're going to look a little bit in reference John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana. Again, a table instance. Many of his detractors accused Jesus of being a drunkard and a glutton. But he was, of course, neither of these two things. But obviously his preparedness to eat and drink with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, gave a lot of his enemies, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, a lot of ammunition. So we see that the table ministry that he had started right at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Some interesting observations symbolically, biblically, about that instance, that event that took place at the wedding. The water jars Jesus used to turn water into wine had been set aside as ceremonial washing for Jewish purification rites. If a Jew felt that they had been contaminated by contact with Gentiles, they would wash in water and recite certain prayers to restore themselves to a sanctified state before God. Jesus takes these symbols of the separation between Jews and Gentiles, between the holy and the unholy, and fills them with wine, the universal symbol of hospitality. Think about that for a minute. Something that's separated, he brought together. Isn't that an interesting thought? Inclusion is also another definition of wine in the Middle Eastern culture, and fellowship. So think about that. And of course, he continues to do this throughout his earthly ministry. So we see Jesus at different tables. Is at a table Jesus accepted the worship of a sinful woman? Luke 7, 36 through 50. He also criticized the self-righteousness of Simon the Pharisee at that same table. Worship and judgment. Worship and accountability. Is at a table that Jesus dispensed advice for how the poor are to come into our lives, as we just read. Our tables are to be humble places. They are places where we can come across and have that sense of equality in a lot of ways, right? It breaks down barriers. And we are to have humbleness at our tables. And we think about that we're not, I'm sure many of you parents and grandparents have enforced this rule. Okay, don't just jump. Some of you maybe grew up in homes that said, well, if you didn't get your hands on that food, you're not going to get any, right? So Jesus, I think, is speaking a little bit against that, as does Paul in the epistle to the Corinthians, that don't just grab at the table, serve. Let others eat first. It's a symbol of humility in a way that we can surprise others, because our world is very gluttonous. I just heard a stat on the news a couple nights ago, over $50 million worth of food. This is food like you see on the slide there, vegetables and fruits, is thrown out by grocery stores every year. Over $50 million worth is just thrown in the trash. We live in a very gluttonous society, don't we? So just to think about that for a minute. But we need to be humble at our tables and to serve others first and not think of our stomachs first. We see in Luke 24, 28 through 32, Jesus broke bread and revealed himself at the table in Emmaus. Think about that for a moment. So we need to use our tables to break down the walls that separate people in society. You need to surprise those around you, surprise the world by who you invite to share your table. So we have a table here. Maybe the table is at Tim's. Maybe the table, you bring Tim's to your table, whatever you do. But this table has a way, it's nothing special, just plastic and metal, and many of yours maybe are wood or metal, but it has a way of having a special place. I want to say to us too, just as a reminder, that maybe there's some of you who have trouble eating certain things, and the table, when you come to the table, it kind of causes not only maybe some indigestion or other things, you can't eat certain things, and it kind of restricts you instead of frees you. Maybe some of you have that feeling, right? It can be a challenging place. So I want to say the table is not the be-all, end-all, okay? It's a good picture, and it is a good picture what we see happening in the Gospels. Yesterday, I had the privilege of having one of our neighbors that we had never met over to our house, to our table. We offered our neighbor some of my wife's delicious baking, but she refused because she had a gluten allergy, right? And so some of you deal with that. Some of you have other issues. Maybe you've had surgeries or those kind of things. So I say this, that if it's not the table, go to the place of comfort or the wheelhouse, whatever you want to say, of your neighbor, your friends. Get to know them. Get to know their thoughts, their processes. I found myself as a pastor and just as a Christian brother, some people open up more on a golf cart than they ever would in a restaurant. Some people open up more on a combine or a tractor than they ever would anywhere else, right? So it doesn't have to be this. It can be a tractor. It can be a golf cart. Just think of ways you can connect with people in their area. Maybe it's a joint activity that you find out, oh, they really like, well, maybe it's golfing. There's the golf cart thing. Or maybe it's hunting. Maybe it's ice fishing. Maybe it's, going to a movie or something. Find that place. Because oftentimes, it's hard to connect really in a deep way out in the foyer for half an hour. You can, but I think it's at the table or whatever the table may look like for you or for your neighbors. Michael Frost uses the phrase radical socializers. How can our socializing be more radical? What do you think about that? I'll let you marinate in that. Heard from a pastor a number of years ago as a rural church pastor from Michigan. His name is John Vermillion. And he was constantly having interruptions in his staff meetings at church. And so he prayed about it, and he had gotten to know the bartender at the local pub. And let you pray on this. This is a discernment thing. You don't have to necessarily follow after this, but I found it interesting. He had gotten to know him, and he said, well, you know, I'm going to take my staff, instead of having staff meetings at church, I'm going to go to the bar. And you're like, whoa, that's a little out there, Pastor. I don't know, and I was like, okay. So anyway, he went there and opened up a table, and they had staff meetings once a month at this local pub, this little town in Michigan. And anyway, as they got to meeting and after the meetings, different people, local people, came to this pub. And there was one particular man. His name was Bob Kellogg. And Bob Kellogg was a very rough, around the edges kind of guy. He loved to shoot, loved to kill, loved to swear, loved to do, kind of everything opposite to what Christians would necessarily act like. He was completely the opposite. Ever met anyone like that? Yes, I'm sure we have. Maybe some of you work with those people, right? So anyway, because of John, Pastor John's desire to go to this place, he got to know Bob Kellogg, and Bob eventually invited him to go hunting. And they spent three wonderful freezing days in the wilderness of Michigan hunting deer. And it's amazing in a deer stand what men talk about. Might be like a tractor or a table or something else like that. The third day, a doe was shot and a savior was accepted. A doe was shot and a savior was accepted. Out of a very risky, maybe on the outside from Christendom's perspective, well, maybe taking your staff to a pub, but now all of Bob Kellogg's family know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about that. Radical socializers. Are you a radical socializer? Well, there's been times, not so much yet in Claire's home, but like I said, we had a good chance to meet some of our neighbors over the last few months. But in the years of my time in Whitewood, just had neighborhood barbecues. Those things are wonderful. Just invite people over. Have them in your backyard. Maybe not necessarily in the winter, but this winter maybe you could. We've had a pretty good winter, I have to say. Put your woolies and your long underwear on and you're good to go, right? But neighborhood barbecues are a way to open up and a place to have real radical socializing. Alan Hirsch and Lance Ford say this: sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Missional hospitality is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. We can literally eat our way into the kingdom of God. Interesting thought. Wow. If every Christian household regularly invited a stranger or poor person into their home for a meal once a week, we would literally change the world by eating. Interesting. So the table can be a surprising place, or whatever that looks like to you. Asking why we break bread with unexpected guests. But secondly, the table fosters community. The table fosters community. Well, have you ever seen an older couple eating in a restaurant in complete silence? Or have you ever seen a young family eating and, doing this and not necessarily? And so before I move into this, Michael Frost doesn't really talk about it, but I think it needs to be said at this point that you need to fast from your technology before you eat at the table. Can I have an amen? Yes. Yeah. I know we made a practice of it, not every single Friday night, but when I was youth pastor as well as solo pastor in Whitewood, we would often take the cell phones away before the kids came or the youth came into worship. Sometimes we allowed them to have them, but other times it's just a distraction. And as much as technology is wonderful, it can be a real distraction from true radical socializing. We need to be aware of that and put those things aside. And eat together. I don't know how many of you here would say you have a regular time during the day or at least during the week that you sit around the table and not just gobble up a TV dinner and run back out the door or whatever it may look like, or leftovers. But you actually sit down, put your phones to the side or whatever else, and eat together. The family table has kind of been a lost tradition in our society, hasn't it? I hope that we can revive it. And let it be a tool to help us. Because if we're not, I think it needs to start at home. The table needs to start at home. And then it goes outward, right? Whatever that looks like for you, I encourage you to try to just take that time and do it yourselves as a family before you invite someone else to come in. Simon Carey Holt is a theologian and a professional chef. And he says this about how the table creates community. It is through the daily practice of the table that we live a life worth living. Through the table, we know who we are, where we come from, what we value and believe. At the table, we learn what it means to be family and how to live in responsible, loving relationships. Through the table, we live our neighborliness and citizenship, express our allegiance to particular places and communities, and claim our sense of home and belonging. At the table, we celebrate beauty and express solidarity with those who are broken and hungry. Sometimes we just invite people to our table that we feel comfortable with, don't we? That we know we have an affinity with. And that's okay at times, but I think I want to challenge us to open up our tables, open up our homes, whatever it may be, or go to those places like a pub, whatever. And don't misquote me now. Okay, I'm not saying go and get drunk at a pub, okay? That's totally different. You need to have self-control, right? And that you can go there and have a pop and chicken wings just as easily as you can have a beer. So just want to make that clear on that. But I think that we need to be aware of going to places and inviting people from different places in their lives that are challenging to us. Be okay with awkwardness. Sometimes we're not okay with that, are we? Well, what do I talk about? What do I say? I don't know what to do, Pastor. it's okay. Maybe it's as simple as praying a little bit beforehand, being a little proactive and saying, you know, coming up with a few questions, just simple open-ended questions. And then bringing those with you or memorizing those questions before you have that meal with that person. And don't feel like you have to deliver on the deal before, like when it comes to salvation. Just be yourself. Don't try to be someone you're not. Don't try to be some great evangelist person. If God opens a door to a spiritual conversation, take that door, right? But if he doesn't, that's okay. There will be others. Just be encouraged. In Jesus' time, a person would never eat with someone of a different social standing. Isn't that interesting? And certainly never with someone of a different religion. Jews eating with Gentiles. But Jesus turns this on its head as he ate with those people first. We need to follow after Jesus, don't we? That's what we've been called to do. So we, you know, it's okay to eat with one another, but also bring others in that may not be totally in your area of influence or your understanding or where you're at. Ben Meyer says of Jesus' presence at a sinner's table this, contact triggered repentance. Listen, contact triggered repentance. Conversion flowered from communion. How many of you know the story of Zacchaeus? We all probably, many of us learned that from little babes. Zacchaeus, the little guy like me, got up in a tree. Jesus found him, and we know the rest of the story. He went to his house, and he says, repentance has come to this house. The kingdom of God has come to this house today. Jesus went, and Zacchaeus invited him. He paid him all of his debtors back, way more than what he owed them. Wonderful to think. Conversion flowered from communion. Conversion flowered from communion. Think about that. When we're thinking about who we're going to interact with, who we're going to bless by eating with them or whatever that looks like. I encourage you to read Luke 19, 1 through 10, even this afternoon. That's where the story of Zacchaeus is. And read it really slow and think about what Jesus did there. Jesus was a radical socializer. Finally, the table mirrors the character of God. I'm going to show you a picture here. This is Andrei Rublev's version of the Trinity, painted in 1410 by great Russian painters. But what are they doing? There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're around a table, eating or communing together. It's a beautiful image of the fellowship of the three persons of the Trinity. Janice Price puts it this way. Hospitality becomes the modus operandi of mission. As those in communion participate in the life and mission of God, meet and receive from each other. This mirrors the hospitality of the Trinity as God chooses to open himself to the other through the incarnation and to subject himself to the created order. I think it's no coincidence that when Jesus gave his disciples a practice to remember him by, it was the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine. Coming around a table. Today we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, very formal, often liturgical way. But the first Christians often celebrated as a banquet. They came together. And it was just, as Acts 2, 42 through 46 talks about, one of their early practices. Right? They met together in the temple courts, breaking bread, having prayer. Beautiful thought. What if the table that we come around took on a little bit more significance than the pulpit or the worship band? Think about that for a minute. These are important. The pulpit's important. Worship, music, singing, important. But the table, fellowship, coming together. Think about that for a minute. Sometimes we can venerate things without even realizing it, beyond their importance that they serve. So we've been challenged to think about living questionable lives. And a question in the back of the book that I want to leave you with too, with blessing and table. Think about those people who kind of maybe rub you the wrong way or just are different than us. How do you sustain your commitment to bless or to eat with others when people misunderstand your motives or mock your faith? How do you sustain your commitment to bless when people misunderstand your motives or mock your faith? Another question to leave you with. The table is the great equalizer in relationships. How so? How have shared meals enriched your relationships? Some questions. In your small groups, you'll look at those questions, meditate on some of those questions this coming week. But think about that. What does your table look like? I encourage you to invite those who are unpopular, the outcast, as well as your friends and work colleagues. Let's show the world through our tables what heaven is like. Jesus regularly used the illustration of a banquet to describe the kingdom. We can show and tell our neighbors about that over a delicious meal, with friends and soon-to-be friends. I pray that that's the case for us this week, and not just this week, but in the weeks and months to come, that we would be able to open up and see opportunities. So I'm going to pray for us now, and then ask John and the team to come back up. Just give us a minute or two, and just pray about those neighbors, those people that are maybe not totally someone that you would think of. Ask God to go through the list of those in your areas of influence. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we ask that you would help us to understand how you'd have us use our tables or the areas of influence we have. Whether we go to some other table or we invite others to come to ours, or a little bit of both. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be sensitive to the needs, the spiritual needs, the physical needs of those around us. Help us to be able to stop and to think for a little while. Help us to start with us in our own families. Help us to slow down enough to at least have a few meals together with our own families this week, without technology interrupting, to be able to really create and sense your presence around our table so that we can invite others in that way as well. Just thank you, Lord Jesus, for how you just went about your ministry here on earth and invited and saw that conversion flowered from communion. We thank you for that. And I pray for all of our hearts and our minds today that you would help conversion to flower from the communion that we have with you. And that as we sit around tables with people, whether at home or in restaurants or on a golf cart or a tractor or whatever that looks like, that you would give us the sensitivity in the weeks and months, years to come to be reminded of that and how the table and how food and just a common interest coming together can really change relationships and ultimately change eternity. So we just ask for those moments to be sensitive. I pray for increased sensitivity, Lord Jesus, in hearts and minds of all of us to see where we can bless, so to see where we can invite, live intriguing lives, so that people are surprised and just want to come in and find out a little bit more. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunities that you've given to me, to Sherry, this past week. I just pray for an abundance of opportunities for my brothers and sisters this week to be able to bless through eating or through whatever it may be, just coming alongside in a shared interest and making it a deliberate attempt to show who you are in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you and we praise you. I just ask now in these moments of silence that you would be laying people's names on our hearts or maybe just houses where we've never knocked on the door or we've just want to go and say hello and maybe bring some food for them. Whatever that may look like, Lord Jesus, we commit it to you and pray that you would reveal now in these moments those who you would have us influence in the weeks and months to come. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the people that and names and places that you've put on our hearts. Pray that we wouldn't quickly soon forget those people and places, but that you take us out from this place and use us, lead us, flow through us. Let those living waters that you speak of by the power of your Holy Spirit flow out of us to bring life and life abundant through tables and through any other means to bless and encourage others this week. In Jesus' name.